So I thought I would just briefly, let's see, where is it? Mention some of the idea behind how you can treat Mesa as a tool. And any of the other developers in the room, please correct me if I just step on this. But the way I think of it is you pick the physics, and then Mesa tells you what happens. And so if you pick strange physics that doesn't do sensible things, that's sort of on your choices. I mean, that's the advantage of it, is it gives you the flexibility to do that. The default behavior is sort of chosen to be reasonable and sort of understandable, something you might see in a textbook, but you should, you know, if there's specific physics that you really care about, you should dig down into the options on that and think about it. I hope if you wanted to follow along that you've installed it. If not, just very briefly, the main things you need to do are install the SDK, which Rich maintains. So this is a bundle of all of the different tools that Mesa relies on and ensures that you have the correct versions of all of those so that you don't need to manage sort of picking and matching all of those pieces. And the SDK has its own website. I think we linked to it earlier in the Slack, so you can go there for instructions. After that, you want to download Mesa, and then you set some environment variables. There are really only a few. One of them says where Mesa is. One of them says where the SDK is, so that Mesa knows where to look for those tools. Finally, there's one that tells Mesa how many cores you want it to use. If you're on a multi-threaded system. So that's really all there is. The actual install instruction is pretty straightforward. It's just the install. And assuming that all of the previous steps went well, you should see this message. If you don't see this message, you will hopefully see a message that tells you what went wrong. Sometimes this will end up being that it couldn't find the SDK, which usually means that one of the environment variables isn't set correctly. But in general, if you run into trouble, you should start going through this list of what should you do if it broke. But I'm not going to go through all of that in any more detail than that. If you run into trouble, either find one of the many developers in the room or write to the mailing list. There's a mailing list, and responses are usually pretty prompt. So I thought I would just start by showing this is what the directory containing Mesa looks like if it's correctly installed. And there's sort of a lot going on, but we're going to mostly look at what's happening in Star. And then within Star, there's really only one folder that you ever need to interface with unless you're trying to actively develop new tools for Mesa, which is work. And you should think of this as a prototype of a Mesa work directory. So by default, this contains the parameter files that you need to run a 15 solar mass Star. And if you go into this directory and try to run it, that's what you'll see. But given that the focus here has been so much on lower mass objects, I've prepared a few work directories for some special cases that might be more of interest. So these are one solar mass, 0.1, a regular Jupiter mass object heated to 1,000 Kelvin at the surface, and then an inflated Jupiter heated however much you want. So we can start with one solar mass. So just for the structure of these directories, logs is where all of the summary output goes. So there will be a history file that tells you sort of summary from every time step or however often you ask it to write that out. And then there will be profile files. And these will be snapshots of the model at given time steps. And so if you want to dig down and say, you know, what was temperature as a function of pressure at a given time, that's where you go. The source folder is where if you have any custom code that you want to write, so if you want to tie into Mesa via your own routines, that's where you do it. And we'll get to that hopefully in the last example. And then inlists are the way that you specify what you actually want Mesa to be doing. So this one is not going to be extremely informative. All it's saying is where to look. So there are three basic parts to specifying what you want to happen. One is to talk about what you want the star to be. One is to give controls. So these are more or less divided into what the star should be and what the physics should be, but it's very blurry and things cross over that quite often. And then PG star is a plotting routine so that it will live plot your model as it runs. You can disable this, but it's often useful to watch the models as they go. So all this file is doing is saying, look at inlist project for the star and for the controls, and look at inlist PG star for the plot routines. So if we look at the project file, so under star, all we're saying is we're going to make a pre-main sequence model and then watch it evolve, and we're going to display the plots. So that's all we need for the moment. And then under controls, this is where it gets blurry. I said that the star was going to be where you specified the starting model, but really here we're going to show mass under controls. Then there are two settings here that basically tell Mesa to be careful with energy conservation. So this is something we've been working on a fair amount recently. And if your model runs with these, that's much better than if it doesn't run with these.
I have a question.
Yes. Yes.
The goal tolerance is working again?
Yes.
I think like a year ago there was something where they didn't actually work if you turned it on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it's back to working.
A lot of stuff came out in the last few months.
Perfect.
There are a handful of test cases I'm aware of where we have to disable goal tolerances to get it to run.
Okay.
And this mostly relates to places where the equation of state doesn't provide good derivatives.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Goal
tolerance is just is sort of a summary for a whole bunch of tolerance specifications. I don't know the details, but they are, I think, on the website if you want. Any other questions before? Okay. So then there's only one other setting here, which is when to stop. So here it's set to stop when the abundance of hydrogen at the core drops below 10 to the minus 3. So you can pick your own criteria for this, but I think that this is a good way to run this model and not have it run all the way up the giant branch. Right, okay, so just one other inlist to look at, which is the plot routine. So this is, you should really divide this mentally into two pieces. So one of them is saying we want an HR diagram. So we're going to show a track on the HR diagram, and those are the settings for it. And the one I haven't selected is saying that it should plot a temperature versus density profile, and then giving some of the settings for that. So the one thing here is by default, because this was copied from the 15 solar mass example, the limits on this HR diagram are probably not what we want. So I'm going to change this so that the window actually contains the sun. And I might broaden that one a little bit. OK, so that's all we need to start.
How are the initial conditions computed?
So there's a routine that's set for computing a pre-main sequence model. By default, it has default settings for all of the abundances, which you can change. And then I don't remember, does it do anything special for the entropy and
just setting core temperature and density, and just letting gas available to collapse, basically.
Are there any transients that you
Yeah.
thinking about, as, to the, how long the transients last, I guess I'm wondering how early we trust the models.
Oh, I mean, you probably want to let them contract a fair way before you trust them, right? Because otherwise it's still sensitive to where you started.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff in the create training sequence is really just trying to get to start.
Yeah.
We don't trust that bit too much.
Right, so now I'm in this directory. So the first step is to call make. So this is just going to build the executable that will then run this model. And then run. Okay, so the terminal output, if I pause it here, this header tells you the orders for the columns below, or for the rows below. So for instance, this model currently has T effective of 4580, has a mass of 1 solar, and then various abundances. So it starts out with 70% hydrogen at the center, a little bit of nitrogen, 28 helium, and so on. And then at the same time, it opened up these two plot windows. So see if we can get both of them. So the HR diagram is the one on the left. By default, the axis has temperature going that way as normal. And then this is the temperature density profile on the right. So the colors here mean a mix of different things. So blue and green basically tell you convection and a radiative zone, respectively. As you can see, the core here is running up to the hydrogen burning line. Eventually, we'll start getting yellow, orange, and red. Well, probably not red in this example, but we'll get yellow and orange, and that'll indicate burning. So that's the start of burning. This line is telling you about the ratio of radiation pressure to gas pressure. This line is telling you about whether or not your model is degenerate, or where you go degenerate if you cross that line. And then these are just sort of other forms of burning. Okay, so that generated a whole bunch of output, and then killed the run. Once you can see hydrogen in the center is just a little bit below 10 to the minus 3. So that's the run. And I created a movie of this with a bit more output. And we can have a look. So the top left is, again, that temperature density profile. Bottom left is the HR diagram. Bottom right is core temperature versus core pressure. The top right is abundances of all of the different, not quite all, but many of the species that are included in the reaction net. It's all of them above some abundance. And then details of what's going on are in the text at the bottom. So it goes a bit quickly, but you can see nothing much happens to the abundances because everything is still relatively cool. The model contracts, gets hotter, gets brighter, starts burning, and then we get actually interesting things happening with the abundances. So I'll just play that again. And if you want to make a run that uses all of this output instead of just the two windows, there's an included file, which is PGStar Advanced here. So this one specifies that you want a window with a grid of different outputs, and then tells it what those outputs ought to be and where they go. It also tells it at the moment to save outputs, to save each snapshot, or I think every other snapshot, into the PNG folder, which is currently empty. But that's how you make a movie like this, is you tell it to save those, and then you can compile those into a movie. OK, so now that we've run that, we can have a look at the output. So this is the history file. So this outputs currently every 5 time steps. So model number, just counting the steps. Number of zones is telling you how much resolution MESA thinks it needs. And that adapts on a step-by-step basis based on where things are changing. Age, So you can see the first few time steps it's taking are sort of a few hours each. And then as it settles down and the transients die off, the time steps get longer. And eventually by the end, so it's giga years old, and it's taking time steps of 10 to the 8 years, which is this second column, log dt. There's more output in here, things like early on it has a convective core, and you can see the mass of that evolving, and it disappears pretty suddenly. Things like how much luminosity you're getting from hydrogen, that's this column. So it's only it only is really burning towards the very end of this, which makes sense from what we've seen. I should note that you can change what is output there. So the place where that is set is in this folder inside Mesa star defaults. This is a template for what columns go into that history file. So if you want to change what goes in, you copy and paste this into just into your work directory, and then you change whichever values you want here. So you uncomment them. This is all Fortran, so the comments are exclamation points. So you know, if you decide, for instance, that you really want to know, say, the radius of your oxygen core for a star that has that, you would just uncomment that and then redo the run, and that'll get logged in the history file. So we can also look at the profiles. So this is a profile from 500 years in, so it's still contracting. So temperature at the surface here is 10 to the 3.6, and then log T at the center is 5 and a bit. So not surprising that nothing much happens there. And then we've got the various mass fractions. And currently, that's all it's set to do. But if we go back into this defaults folder, there's another option, which is profile column list. And this gives you options for all of the things you might want the profile to log. So if you wanted to log gravity, you just uncomment that. You can be very specific about what you want. For instance, not just temperature in the cell, but you can ask for what MESA is using interpolated onto cell faces to compute luminosities. So if you want to dig into that, you can. Right. So there's a lot there, and for whatever problem you decide, you should decide what you want and set that up.
Where's that folder, defaults?
It's in star/defaults. Okay. So any questions on that one? So the next one here is a 0.1. It's a 0.1 solar mass model. The main difference here is because it's much cooler, I wasn't able to run it with the default atmosphere settings. I'm not sure if this is just that I wasn't being clever enough, but I was able to get it to run with an Eddington gray atmosphere. I think this is to do with you.
It's because you create pre-main sequence model. If you just run it for like 10 steps with the with this one, and then you can switch to the other atmosphere and it will work.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
I've had that happen. So it's just the first few steps that for some reason, which I didn't get into, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
So you just run 10. And so sex with the Eddington grade, and you can switch to whatever.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, so otherwise this is pretty much the same. The only other change I made was to the initial mass, saying I wanted it to be 0.1 instead of 1. And here I'm going to turn on the more detailed plot output. Each of these folders includes both. So if you're following along, you can just comment out whichever one you don't want, and then the other one will run. So then I do make and run. Always uses the other desktop from the one I want it to come up on. I should note, I left the stopping condition as depleting hydrogen in the core. So this one's actually going to run for a much longer. I think it's more interesting. This one's actually sort of interesting because the point where it hits the hydrogen ignition line is actually very close to the point where it becomes degenerate. I didn't plan that. That's just I put in 0.1 and that happened to work.
What are the various kinks in the
This one?
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure.
So
the early ones are definitely transients coming off of the pre-main sequence. But does anyone know what this one is?
Would it be Deuterium?
Could it be
Deuterium?
Is Deuterium burning in the basic net?
I don't
think so. Sort of good.
Well,
I can't see H2 on the abundances. So.
Yeah. So this is a good chance to check something. So I'm just running with the basic reaction network. But we can check what is in it. It's a README.
Basic also.
So basic does not have deuterium.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. So this model is about to do something interesting. Oh, already has.
Also taking DVD.
Yes. Yeah. So we can open the movie for that one. This goes much faster than running in real time. Mm-hmm. So the ending age is apparently 10 to the 12 years. This one took a little while, but So I mean, I think the takeaway is that if you're running one of these, you can very happily cut off the evolution here. You know, at 10 to the 9, maybe you go a little bit further, but not much interesting is going to happen beyond this. So now for the hard one. I thought this was going to be much easier, and turns out the equation of state gets very displeased with you when you try to run very low mass objects. So this is for a Jupiter mass object, and I actually have two inlists here. One because creating the model took quite a while, And so you don't want to have to redo the creation every time. So I create it, and then I save the model. And then in the inlist where I actually want to run, I tell it to load that same model back. So for the creation, there are a few things that were tricky. So the first is the create pre-main sequence routine will not make a model below 0.03. It will error out and tell you that you need to create a model at 0.03 and then start stripping material off of it until you get to whatever mass you want. So that's what this is doing. So it says create an initial model and then attempt every 3 million years to remove 10 to the minus 3 solar masses from it. The other issue you run into with making these very low mass models is if they aren't burning anything, then they have a tendency to cool down to zero and eventually it runs off the equation of state table and dies. So the way you stop that is by irradiating it. So this Jupiter is sitting next to a star, so it's at 1,000 Kelvin. That's what this routine is doing. And the final thing is because we're in this very low temperature regime for the equation of state and the opacities, I had to turn off gold tolerances to get this to run. So, just as a point about the control flow logic here, in the main inlist, I have these two options, one of which will create and save the model, and then the other will load the model. And so you, whichever one you want to do, you comment out the other and then go. Okay, so it's currently set to load the saved model and then run it. And that's not going to do anything terribly interesting. It cools off a little bit more, and then it sits there. So this top right is showing you various quantities as a function of mass coordinate. And they're all normalized to 1, so that the largest value that appears is 1. So red is the opacity, orange is the entropy, and watch that again. So that's the luminosity profile settling in, figuring out where it wants to take cooling heat from. So if you let this run for longer, I cut this one off at a gigayear. What it will try to do is become isothermal at 1,000 Kelvin, and then again it will run off the equation of state table and have problems. So as long as your Jupiter is not too cold, and not too old, you can do things with it in MESA, but sort of be cautious and have some tolerance for you might have to play around with the precise input physics for a while to get this to work. Yes, you can. Yeah. So conveniently, this page has. I'm guessing it's in controls, but I don't know.
Relax, cool.
That was it. Thank you.
Relax, so it's got M, because you can do it through M.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, it should be relax, underscore M, underscore center.
Oh, there we go, yes. Okay. Yeah, so you can put a blob of fixed mass and fixed radius at the center, and that lets you get around a lot of these issues. If you say, I don't care what happens in the center, I just want an atmosphere, yeah, that's fine.
It's also how you make neutrons, something else where you
don't know what happened. I think that was about all of the extra physics in this model. The only other thing I had to do, we're using, we're to interface of what set of low temperature opacities to use. There was no particular magic behind picking these. I just tried a few and saw which one worked. But if you have strong feelings about what low temperature opacity tables you think are reasonable, then there are options for you. So I think that's. You can say what composition you want, as well as if there are, you know, there are specific sets of tables you can pick. Anything else on this Jupyter? Okay, so there's one more I want to do, which is to try to inflate this Jupyter. So this is going to be a bit more involved, but the idea here is that we're going to tell Mesa that we've come up with our own prescription for where the heat goes that inflates these Jupyters, and then we're going to use that prescription to run a model and just see what happens. So the first thing to look at is under source, run star extras. So this is the place where you can put extra routines if you want them. By default, all it says is include the default behavior, and that does essentially nothing. So the way that you fill that in is first you need to open this file, standard run star extras, which is located in Mesa/include. So it's this file here. And all you do is copy and paste the contents of this file in place of this include line. Okay, so now you have a file that you can edit, and it won't just be calling the default behavior for anything. And if you're following along and doing this on your system, you can check that you've done that correctly by comparing that file against verify run star extras. If you've replaced that line correctly, you should match that. Okay, so now we need to figure out which hook we want to use for adding the extra heat. So these are all in Mesa star other. And you can see some of the options here. So if you're interested, for instance, in changing mixing lengths, you can use other alpha MLT. Here, I'm going to use other energy to just directly deposit some heat. Okay, so there are a bunch of instructions in here in the comments, but the main thing to note is this is the structure of the routine that deposits extra energy.
Where is that other energy got?
Ah, yes, it is. It's in star/other.
Okay.
Yeah, so what this is saying is, well, the first thing is, because of that return line, it's actually not going to do anything. So if I just copy and paste this in, well, it doesn't matter where you put it as long as it's below the contains line. If I now run this, to do make because I've changed the source, and then I run, it doesn't do anything differently, just because it's returning before it actually sets the extra heat. So I should first be deleting that line. The next problem is Jupyter does not extend out to between 0.7 and 0.9 rsun, so this is not actually going to do anything. I have a separate version of this routine that I think works pretty well. Compare the two. So the version I've just copied in is in new run star extras, which will not be a file present by default. It's a file I added to that work directory. So what this is saying is put 10 to the 1 grams per gram of heat in an exponentially decaying profile. So it starts high at the surface and decays in as a function of radius, and it gets 3 e folds in before you hit the center. Okay, So we can put that in, but we're not quite done. There are two other things we need. The first is we need a line, this line here, in the project inlist. So all this is saying is that Mesa should in fact look for a routine that uses other energy and call that at the relevant time in this step. The other thing we're missing is we need to tell it that this routine that we've just added, default other energy, is the one we want it to call. So the way to do that, we look back at the example file I included, is with this line. So we say we have this pointer, other energy. It can point to any function you want. We're going to tell it to point to the routine we just added. So with that, if you're following along, your runstar extras should now look like the new runstar extras file. So if I've done all of that correctly and we run it, it should look very different. It's working. Okay, so this Jupiter is going to get quite hot because 10 to the 1 ergs per gram over a Jupiter is like 10 to the minus 2 L sun. So it should settle around 10 to the minus 2 in luminosity. You can see the surface opacity is changing quite a bit. That's this one. As this peels away, that's telling you that the surface is, I think it's partially ionizing the surface and that causes the drop. So yeah, now it's settled there. And unlike before, where our model cooled until it was, or would have cooled had we run it further until it's isothermal, because there's actual heat going into this, that profile is actually steady. So it'll sit in that profile for as long as you like. And if you want to put in more heat, if you think that Jupiter ought to be more like the Sun, Mesa will happily run that experiment for you, whether or not you believe it.
What's the units of it?
Ergs per gram.
Per second?
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, ergs per gram per second, yes, yeah. Yeah, so this one's actually going to turn around in effective temperature because the opacity starts changing. And I believe that the core will actually cease to be degenerate in this model. This has already ruined our nice core convection zone. So there it's crossing the degeneracy line. A little intuition on why it's going this direction, or rather why it's settling on a solution that's much cooler than the sun, even though it's got roughly 1 L sun of luminosity going in. Is that the mass is much lower. So surface gravity is lower, so it gets to be much bigger at the same pressure temperature at the center. Or at the same center temperature. Right, so it will now sit here indefinitely. Nothing's changing. So that's all I have prepared. If there are questions or experiments you want to run, I can try to run them on the fly. But
do you have any tips that is not in the documentation?
Grep is your friend.
Do you want to bring up Mason Stark at all?
Forms are really good. Everybody's had your problem before.
Also have test cases. The test suite cases are great.
Yes. Right, so these are, so the first thing that's maybe worth, yeah, sorry. So the first thing that's maybe worth pointing out is we encourage that you share your in-lists when you write papers using Mesa. And so this is a repository containing all of the ones that have been shared this way. So you can pick a paper, a link to both the paper and to the in-lists. And then there's sort of all you need to rerun those models. People are encouraged also to specify what version of Mesa they used, although that I think the coverage on that is not quite as good. I guess there are the summer school labs.
Yeah, sure. Summer school.
Is that under education?
Yeah.
What is the website that you're at right now?
MesaStar.org. We'll get you here, even though the URL does not say that. So there are some examples here. Many of these, I think all of these, are from the various Mesa summer schools that have happened. And each of them has their own website. And usually under agenda, you can find what people talked about, as well as links to the in-lists they used and PDFs explaining how to go through them. Some of these links are broken, but you can always find the in-lists on the in-list page.
I might recommend going to the 2017 summer school because that had a lot of stuff on Groundworks and Jupiters. It's pretty great.
Ah, yes. But it's with cores. Some of the links are broken.
Mesa Star site has all the links. So if you scroll down a little, on the education, you scroll down, right, all the people's names, the talks, and the files.
Great. Okay, yeah, so we can maybe look at this one. Oh boy, that's a lot. Okay. But you can see the general structure at least. So these labs usually include some explanation of what's going on, and then the actual in-lists. And in particular, many of them have sort of pre-computed models that have been run forward to the point where things get interesting, so you don't have to sit there waiting.
The other thing on the Mesa Star page is the add-ons folder.
Ah, yes.
It has lots of useful things like plotting routines, various other stuff just to make things life easier for you.
Right. I guess the other thing I didn't talk about at all but should mention is Mesa can also run binaries. So the structure for this is pretty similar, except that you get one in-list that controls sort of orbital things, and then two separate in-lists, each of which controls one of the objects. And there are lots of options, but it's sort of worth knowing that capability is there. And in particular, you can do things like have one in-list for a planet, for a hot Jupiter, have another in-list for the star it's orbiting, and then use a run star extras to put the amount of radiation the planet should be getting on the planet. So you can play games like that.
And there are good labs for that too. Nice ones.
What is it? Is it
single orbit?
Just a circular orbit?
You can do eccentric orbits, and there are different prescriptions. Under JDOT controls, You have different prescriptions for if you think that there are winds or other mass loss or mass transfer, for exactly how the angular momentum evolves.
I'm going to show you the test suite as well.
Oh, yes, 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 very good. So in */test suite, there are a whole bunch of cases. These are cases that we more or less promise will run on the release versions, more or less. These are often really good if you want to create a scenario and you're not quite sure how to start, if you can find a test suite case that's close to it.
Yes, but there's one thing that you need to know. These test cases are made so that they run at a reasonably fast rate, so that because they have to run all during one night so that you can check every day. So some of them have defaults for time step and mesh size that are not good for scientific applications because they're not converged. So you have to make sure that when you run one of those, you make sure that you will have a time step and a mesh size that make your models converged. Because that's a mistake I've seen quite a few times. People will trust these, and you know, they could start in home, but they're not necessarily in a converged state.
How do you know if the model has converged?
You take a small time step and you see if you have the same results.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Easy.
That's good.
Yeah, and that's always good, a good test to do before running with the result.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the defaults usually produce reasonable behavior, but
it depends what you want. I would say never trust them.
Yes. Yeah. Don't trust them. But
talk about vendor decisions and thoughts.
Sure. Yeah. So at the center, you can set a mass, a radius, and a luminosity. So you can put a core in there and specify what's going on inside the core. For the outer conditions, let's see, are those, here we go. There are lots of options. So a lot of these are tabulated atmospheres. You can also say Eddington Gray if you just want to do something simpler. You can also, these are a little funny, but you can say, I want my star to truncate at a fixed temperature or pressure. And then MESA will do that. I'm not sure that's something you necessarily want to do in realistic cases, but if for whatever reason you've decided that your star lives in a box and that box has walls with a given pressure, you can do that sort of thing.
And you can write your own one as well with another hook. So.
I have not played around with this one at all, so but yeah, if you think that there should be special boundary conditions, you can certainly set those. I guess the one other thing to mention, which I didn't, is that in the RunStar extras, you can also add special output for the history or profile files. So if there's something that you could, in principle, calculate using the data that MESA holds internally, you can, you know, write a routine that calculates it and then specify that you want that written out to a file. That's often useful because you might only need one number, but that number depends on lots of stuff, and it's expensive to write a profile at every time step that contains all of that. Anything else that would be useful? I I guess the other thing is please only run the release versions. Occasionally there are emails to Mesa users saying, you know, everything is broken, and it's because it's one of the development versions. The release schedule is not quite regular, but the releases are all posted here, so it should be.
What are the next big steps or project goals for Mesa? Is there anything in particular?
We've only just put out the last paper, so I guess this is now the time to know from people, you know, what's the next big thing they'd like to see.
So if there are things you'd like to see, do let us know.
Does it have a rotation?
Yeah. So rotation. So at the moment, all of the rotation is handled through a diffusion coefficient. So there's no advection. That is something I would like to see coming up, but there's nothing on that yet. And you can specify what you think the turbulence in the star is doing, and you'll see different people pick very different prescriptions here, but you can not only set what you think they ought to be, you can do arbitrary linear combinations of those. So if you think that Eddington sweep comes with a prefactor of 100 or 0.01, free to do that. I guess the other thing to note is you can separately mix, many of these processes will also mix chemistry. And there's often some uncertainty as to whether or not the mixing coefficient for the chemistry is the same as the mixing coefficient for the angular momentum. And so if you think that those two ought to be different, you can specify what you think the ratio is. Anything else? Sir?
All right. Okay. Thanks for
thank you.